Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 144. My name's Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. And this podcast, like the next couple as well, and the previous one, is powered by our really good friends at Golf Bidder.
Yes.
Last week, we announced the partnership, and to be honest, the reception was huge because we mentioned as well, they have a little match against a certain Peter Finch where yep. they both spend £500 and people seem to absolutely love it. Peter's responded. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Peter's responded. He said he'll be ready on a first tee.
He's also said on social media that he's away out of the country for like the next 5 weeks. So we're going to, when are we going to do it?
Soon.
When and where?
To be honest, 5 weeks is probably good for me.
Yeah.
I'm on holiday and I've got other bits going on. So you know what? 5 weeks gives me time to start hitting my driver better.
Your driver's really gone downhill.
Everything else. And my chipping and putting got better.
Your chipping's got miles better.
My putting's
been pretty
good.
Nice. Your putting's been good from like, not amazing on long putts, but 6 foot and in, you're banging them home. Your driver, though, I don't want to say pathetic, but I'm leaning more towards that.
We've got, this is a guest episode as well. And on the show today, we've got Will Davidson, who's a tour caddy. And we've just been out on the golf course and he's caddied for me. So let's wait for the full bashing of my golf game from Will. But obviously, the announcement of the partnership last week with Golf Bidder went down really well. Loads of comments, exciting times. And we've had one entry into the Dear Rick
pot.
Entry pot at the moment.
Yeah.
And I believe you've got another one.
It's a huge pot with one little name in there so far. We've actually had... it's funny.
I bet you've had loads this
week. It's funny, isn't it? We ask for emails quite a lot and we get a good amount of emails. Email us, podcast@rickshields.com. However, when you say there's a prize pot and there's a Golf Bidder gift card, the amount yet to be disclosed, shouldn't they get a lot, an influx of emails and letters and posts and everything? However, I've got a good one and I picked them for different reasons. So there's been a lot of clickbait titles. I like it. I respect it. They did get my attention. But I also sometimes read the ones that I think I want to see how you answer it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a good one. Again, they're all going to be anonymous. If you win, though, you'll obviously get an email back to say you've won. So you'll know. And you'll obviously your email would have been read out. This one, though, it says, Dear Rick. And then he also put Angai in brackets. And he put, I know this helps. So again, he got in. He put me in there.
He knows.
He just knew. So then he's put the title of the email, How Do I Keep My Partner Happy?
Okay.
You're the kind of guy who knows to keep your partner happy, aren't you?
I try my best. We've been married for nearly 10 years.
Nice.
And been together for 15 years. So, I'd like, yeah.
Give me three top tips then before this email.
It's her birthday today.
Yes.
And I'm here doing podcast and been out filming. But tonight, I'll treat her. I'll wine her. I'll dine her.
Okay. Keep talking to me.
I won't finish the rest of that sentence.
Three top tips how to treat your partner well.
Communication.
Oh, nice. By WhatsApp.
Communication, honesty, ooh, and understanding.
Wow.
Check out my new podcast, Rick Shields of the Love Doctor.
Okay, well, you sound like the qualified guy to answer this email then.
Okay,
so,
go on.
Okay, my partner recently joined the love of golf. But basically, my partner recently in lockdown got into golf, okay? However, recently she has been complaining that I never make time to play golf with her and only with my dad. How do I keep both parties happy? I enjoy playing golf with both my dad and my partner. However, she isn't anywhere near the same standard as me and my dad, so therefore it's not always as enjoyable. What should I do?
That's a good one. So it's tricky because, like all of us, we've probably had friends who've got into golf.
Yes.
And when you get into golf, guess what? It's not very easy and it's hard and people struggle because it's challenging. Mm. And if you've played golf for a long time, it's sometimes hard then to kind of sit in a group with a golfer that's struggling. As much as you want to encourage him, you want to keep him going, you can be conscious of people around you. I think certainly, let's say this anonymous emailer is a member of a golf club and so is his dad, and they're out on the golf course playing. You know, if their partner might be a bit slow and kind of new to the game, which obviously everybody has to learn, everybody has to go through those stages, they might be quite conscious that people are coming up behind them and playing behind them, and, you know, suddenly they're getting a bad reputation for being slow and all this. But for me, I would say there's a couple of things you should do, should try. I think different formats help a lot, massively. So I think there's formats out there where he can play with his dad and his partner and everybody's happy. Like team games. I love team games, me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I would almost just play? I would recommend three. Something what they call, I play in pro-ams quite a lot when I play in these like pro-ams, like BMW and things like that. Texas, Tour Pro Scramble. Mm-hmm. Everybody tees off. You choose the best tee shot and then you play your own ball from there. So it's just, and you could even extend that because, again, in some of these pro-ams, pars your friends. It's all about making net birdies. Anything over a net birdie doesn't matter. You can pick it up if you choose to. That's a good format. Something like a Texas Scramble or a Scramble where you're playing as a team. I even like the fact that if he's pretty good and his dad's pretty good, why not do where they play alternate shots with the partner? So it's like two versus one. So him and his partner versus dad, but maybe the guy and his partner, his wife, his girlfriend or whatever, they play alternate shots and play against the dad. I think there's ways to
question
incorporate.
For you though. I like how you're trying to think of ideas of how they could have more fun and play. But is this not the whole point of a handicap system? That if she's not as good, she gets more shots to then make it a fair match.
I probably don't think it's a match thing though. I think it's more.
It's just slow potentially and doesn't. Yeah.
I think it's more the fact that if let's say again, he's a good player, his dad's a handy player, they're smashing it down there at 250 yards, and she's quite new. And anybody that is new, it's a hard game to pick up straight away. She's only hitting it 50 yards off the tee, or she might duff it, or it happens to any new golfer. It's quite a long process. They might have hit one golf shot and she might have hit four or five golf shots to get to their one.
Surely the simple solution should be he just plays more golf. He plays with his partner and she's unhappy. Then he says, right, I played with you on Wednesday after work. So on Saturday, I'm playing with my dad. Yeah. She can't really complain. She says, well, it's my dad's day today. Yeah. So you could play double the amount of golf.
That's another good way of doing it.
Yeah.
It's a nice situation to be in.
It is.
I'm sure there's many, many people listening that would love to play golf with the dad. Mm-hmm. Either whether the dads have passed away or they're not being able to play anymore, they don't know the dads or whatever it is, or the dads don't play golf. I'm sure there's loads of people listening would love to play with the dad, so he should treasure that time and that moment. And I'm sure there's loads of people who would love to play with the partners.
They're just taking a very, like...
Sorry.
Part deep. Of me thought we were going to start doing, like, role plays, Rabbi the girlfriend, and you be the I mean, like, a phone call, and now going to really stop. But I think you're right. No, it is. And
I think and it's very easy to overlook it, celebrate these times out on the golf courses with people you love. And I think sometimes, like, it can happen where suddenly something happens and he won't be able to have that time on the golf course with his dad. Or his girlfriend or whatever.
Speaking of being on the golf course with people you love, I'm going to just slightly tweak that to being on the golf course with people that you quite like / tolerate. Our break 75 and me versus you went out on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And we can, you know, a bit of a spoiler before we get Will on. We played golf, break 75, Dunham Forest. You beat me. Well done.
Thanks.
Very good.
Wow. Golf pro beats amateur. Yeah. Aren't you hard?
You were so chuffed with yourself. No, you played very nicely. As always, what annoyed me about that round of golf, and this always happens with golf, there's going to be something that annoys you. I was playing quite tidy golf, getting it round nicely, four apart on the 18th tee, which for me, I'm going to take all day long. And as per St. Andrews, when I lost my head and I just melted. And come off with a treble bogey on 18.
You did very well to get around that golf course, only hitting driver once.
I know. Call me Tiger Woods.
So I think you managed your game well. I think you hit some really, really good shots, but also there's a mixture of not great ones. like I said, that t-shirt on 18 wasn't your finest, but it's one of those things.
Like,
considering you turned up to the golf course, remember you saying, I've been to driving range this weekend, I've hit every shot terrible.
Yeah.
Or was that this week's
Was this week. So Dunham Forest is the good one, and then this week's Break 75 is where we were raving out last time. That's at Wallasey.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some good videos in the can, and today's one.
Really good.
It's another good one.
That'll be coming out next Friday. Getting into today's video, should we get our guest on?
Absolutely. I'm excited for this one.
Let's welcome Will Davidson. And just like that, you're here. Will, thanks for coming on the podcast, pal.
Yeah, glad to be back.
It's been a minute, as you describe it. It's been a minute since we first ever met.
Yeah, it has.
Can you remember exactly where it was?
Oh, it was...
God, this is going to be embarrassing if you don't.
It was 2015.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
2015.
In?
Was it in Scotland?
No. Right, next guess. we met in Turkey.
Oh, that's right.
Because you were caddying. You were caddying for Hao Tong Lee, and I played in the Turkish Airlines Pro-Am.
That's right.
And we knocked it around.
Yeah, we did.
It was good fun. We exchanged details at the end of it.
That's right.
And we've been, I thought really close friends ever since, but obviously you can't even remember when we first met. But yeah, no, Will, you are a tour pro caddy, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You have caddied for Hao Tong Lee, as I mentioned.
Yep.
Beef.
Yep.
Andrew Johnson.
Yep.
Anne Van Damme.
Anne Van Damme, yes.
Smiley Kaufman.
Smiley Kaufman. Parts,
and currently, Lexi Thompson.
Lexi Thompson.
Have I missed anyone out there?
Did you do for Ross Fisher?
I did work for Ross Fisher for about 7-8 months, right before COVID. So, yeah.
So you are an official tour pro caddy.
I've got 9 full years under my belt now.
What does it feel like? What's it like being a caddy?
It's one of those things. It's like back in the day, it was a job that I would never even considered. You know, I grew up playing golf, grew up wanting to be in the golf business somehow, some way.
Did you want to be a player?
Obviously everybody wants to be a player, but you know, are you really good enough to be that player?
Yeah,
probably not. But yeah, it's funny how it started, really, and started with Smiley. Actually, I grew up playing against Smiley in junior golf. You know, AJGAs, BGAs back in the States. And, we just hit it off, became good buddies. He went to LSU. I went to Auburn. Didn't see each other for 3 years or so. After college, he decided to turn pro. I ran into him at a Barons baseball game, which is the minor league ball club in Birmingham.
So really random.
Really random. Hadn't seen him in a year. Ran into him. He said, oh, what are you doing right now? And I said, well, I just got off shoulder surgery, just been doing some rehab and whatnot. And he says, well, I'm going to turn pro in a couple months. You want to do Q school with me? And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. So sure. Why not? Let's do it.
You've just had a shoulder injury, but you fancy carrying a bag for 4 days.
Really heavy golf bag.
And you know what's funny is I actually said, well, I can carry it on my left. I'll be fine with that. Not thinking tour bag, all that jazz. Just thinking, yeah, I can carry my bag on my left anyway, right?
No way. But, so... I want to dive into Smiley Kaufman very quickly before we go into the rest of your journey. Obviously, he has had a very, very interesting life on tour.
Yeah.
When he first turned pro, was he really good? Like, was he as good as he should have been? Because he's obviously had some issues out on the golf course now, and I'm guessing they're mental issues. Was he amazing when he first turned pro?
Yeah, he was, you know, growing up, he was a great player. In Birmingham, you know, won a bunch of the junior events and stuff like that. I mean, everybody kind of knew who Smiley was growing up in Birmingham.
Well, if you have a name like Smiley, there's not many Smileys, is there?
This is true. Very true. But yeah, you know, he was a good player. And when he went to LSU, he didn't crack the starting rotation for, I think, 3 years.
Didn't get on the team, is that?
He was on the team. He was on scholarship at LSU, but didn't really play a whole lot, didn't really... cracked the starting rotation consistently. And then his senior year, you know, finally cracked the... It just opened up.
I have no idea what crack the starting rotation means.
Meaning he got into the top five guys that are playing every week, you know, week in, week out.
Right. Okay.
So I think like Auburn, when I was there, I think they had 14 players on the team.
I get you.
But the, only the top six play in each tournament each week.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a, you know, it's a grind to try and get
it's
into
competitive,
that.
Competitive, isn't it?
It's very competitive. Is College golf is very competitive.
It's what makes you good at that age, though, isn't it, as well?
Competitive
golf, consistently, all the time, against other really good players.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I wish I'd encountered that.
It would definitely improve you because you've got to be on 100%. Your game.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's either going to make you or break you.
100%, yeah.
You're either going to know I've got the minerals to do this, or you're going to get beat every week and go, I'm not good enough.
It's not for me.
What's funny is actually, in jumping off what we were just talking about there for a second, but like when I was at Auburn, there were the starting five, I think four out of five of them are on tour and still on tour today. Wow. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, there's no chance I would crack. I could try to walk on and I'd be 14 of 14. It ain't going to happen. So, you know.
So what's happened again, just quickly, happened to Smiley now?
So Smiley, he's gone through some injuries. He had a left wrist injury, a right elbow injury, you know, back to back, you know, maybe didn't heal properly, whatever. But you know, it's funny. His game is still really, really good. I go and play with him in Birmingham quite often, actually. I think two times ago we went and played, and he shot 63 bogey free. Granted, it was his home course, but lost a couple bucks to him that day for sure. But yeah, he's the game's there. You know, it's just I feel like when we get into a tournament, and I went and caddy for him down in Puerto Rico, probably 4 months ago, did Puerto Rico Open with him, and hit the ball great. Just have a few that don't quite, you know, the club face gets left a little bit open. Or closes just a hair, which we all do from time to time.
Of course.
And, you know, it's just everything's amplified when you get to a situation like tournament PGA Tour golf.
When you've got crowds and you've got people, you've got cameras and you've got pressure and you're playing for money. And also for him, he'll have a bit of a stigma that he has to kind of get over this hill really and start playing again.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to kind of dive into that a little bit because I was quite intrigued about the past. But obviously right now, you're on the bag of one of the most famous lady golfers ever in Lexi Thompson. You've been on the bag for her for how long now?
It's actually going to be a year this week.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's so it was right after the Open last year.
She's a huge name in the world of women's golf. Mm-hmm. How does all like the, let's say the politics of it all work out? Like how did you know that Lexi had a bag free? Did you approach her? Does she approach you? How does all that work behind the scenes?
So she and her caddy split at the Olympics, actually, of all places.
Is it like a jobs board? A caddy's jobs board anyway?
You know, it's like a big post-it note and everybody just kind of sticks up who wants to work with who and, you know, run some strings back and forth. But no, it's one of those things where it's just kind of word of mouth. Like, you know, I knew that somebody told me that she and her caddy had split at the Olympics. We were headed over to play. Ann and I were headed over to play the Scottish and the British.
Because you were caddying for Anne Van Damme.
Correct. I was, yeah. And, you know, that job became open right after the Olympics, like I said. Went and finished the Open. Was on my flight back. Was actually talking to Jason, Nelly Korda's caddy. And we were just talking. He's like, yeah, I don't know who's going to get the Lexi job and whatnot. And I just kind of started thinking, it's like, you know, I've worked for Curtis, her brother. I've done some weeks with him. And you know, I'm not one to kind of go look out and say, hey, I want to jump from bag to bag to bag. But it was just something inside. I was like, you know, this is just an opportunity I might not get again. And so I reached out, to her dad. And said, hey, look, you know, I would certainly be interested in talking to you guys. And by the time I landed from the UK back in Alabama, I had a message from him saying, hey, yeah, let's talk. And I think we talked for 20, 30 minutes. And basically he said, look, we're looking at a couple other people as well, but you know, we're certainly interested in you as well. And I said, okay, great. And 2 days later he said, hey, look, let's do this. Let's do the rest of the year, see how it goes, and rock and roll. And now we're in a year.
It's like a really like informal job interview, isn't it?
It is.
It's like
it is.
You hear about a job coming up. And did you ever get an idea of how many caddies they were looking for at that point? Obviously, sorry, they were looking for one. But you know how many people, how many caddies they were actually talking to?
I don't. And you would think like somebody like that probably has, you know, there's probably a number of guys that were like, hey, look, you know, I'd certainly be interested. I don't actually know that number. You know, I know that, you know, like Zalatoris' bag just came open the other day. Ricky Fowler's bag just came open. So I'm sure that there's plenty of people around in the caddy world that are like, hey, let's, you know, I want to put my name in for this.
So when you went, you kind of pitched yourself forward for that job and you spoke to dad, what was the biggest thing kind of on your CV that you used to kind of show yourself? Was it the fact that you kind of fit for Beef or for Ross Fisher or for how, what was it that like you kind of really leveraged?
Yeah. Well, it, you know, it helped that I caddy for a brother, yes. Curtis, that obviously, you know, kind of knew the family, from years back. I actually knew Curtis. Curtis played at LSU with Smiley, met Curtis through Smiley. It's funny how it all comes around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's just like it, knowing Curtis really helped. They kind of had a comfort there, you know, kind of put me maybe a hair above everybody else. But, you know, they do want to know, like, hey, what have you done? You know, what did you do prior to working with Ann? And obviously being out there with Ann, you know, they've seen how we've played before. We played with Lexi once or twice when we were out there, played a practice round with her. So, I mean, you know, we were at least, like, already
comfortable with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, comfortable with each other in a way. And so I think that was just the biggest difference, because everybody can caddy. Like, all these – not everybody, all the guys out there already –
professional caddies can caddy.
Right. They can caddy, but it's just more personality.
Just a chemistry. Like 100%. Who gets on with who, you know, what type of person.
100%.
And who gets the best performance out of the player, I guess. Because yeah. It comes down to that. Like, as much as you've got to just carry a golf bag, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's so much that goes into it. Like, we've just been on the golf course this morning.
Right.
And we've just played. And I'll be honest with you, I played pretty poor today.
I've seen you play better.
For the first 8 holes, I was all over the show. But having you on the bag today made me understand the value of having that reassuring, you know, voice that, okay, don't worry. I think after 7 holes, you went, it's one of those days where it's a bit of a grinding day today. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. And, you know, you gave me words of encouragement when I needed it and maybe backed off when I was a bit more heated or whatever it may be. But I definitely think, and I'm not going to give away the result today, I think I would have shot 6 or 7 shots worse if you weren't on the bag today. And that's at my level. So you think at pro level, tour pro level, you know, there is a massive advantage of having a really good caddy who can put you at ease, who can help you perform at your peak optimum performance, you know, and that's so valuable. And that's why you obviously get cuts of the winnings. You get...
Right.
You get a retainer as well or not? Is it
yeah.
all?
Yeah, yeah. So we get a weekly retainer. Yeah.
And that's why, like, your responsibility, and that's, we spoke about this on the golf course recently. The word, when tour pros are now talking at press conferences, they talk about we a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
They talk about we as in the player and the caddy's relationship. That feels like it's changed a lot because it is more like a team now. And I think that's becoming more apparent as the kind of game grows.
I would agree with that. I would say that, you know, back in the day, back, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when you know, guys were out on tour with caddies, you know, it was almost like, hey, pull this guy from the parking lot and you're carrying my bag today for, you know, for $6. You know, what's your name? You know, that's kind of how it sounded like in back then. And now it's turned into much more of a, hey, look, we've got to have the right personality. You've got to learn my game. We've got to make the right decisions. But I agree with you. It has turned into a we thing because there's so much more that goes into it than just obviously carrying the bag.
I think when you look at like the relationship that Tiger and Steve Williams had and how powerful that was, I think he actually became the richest sportsman in New Zealand, didn't he?
For being a caddy. I believe so.
And I think that for me, that really opened my eyes to the importance of like the team element. And you see obviously that famous embrace. I think it was it the Open that Tiger Woods won after his dad had passed away? And he and Steve like hugged. And that was obviously more than just a caddy relationship. They were close buddies at the time. I think Tiger was his best man actually. But you could just tell there how important that kind of friendship is and that kind of, you're everything, aren't you? You're kind of a friend. You're almost you're an employee, but you're also, you know, a psychiatrist, I guess, to some degree, a psychologist.
Absolutely.
You do so many things on the golf course. With
a mental coach. Yeah, everything. Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like a bit of security as well.
Yeah.
Like security. You have to make sure the crowd aren't being 100%. Loud.
100%.
You've got to stand there and tell somebody who's moving to shut up. You've got to tell the camera guys to move out of the way or be quiet, you know, because a player's not often going to do it, is it?
No. I love jumping on people whose phone goes off. That's my big thing.
It was a bit much today, though, when people were walking down the fairways and Will was shouting at him across the field, shut up!
Rich Spencer shot here, man!
Oh, yeah.
What's your go-to if someone's phone goes off?
I've got a couple. My favorite one is, hey, you know, we're at a golf course, you know, let's silence the phones here.
Is that what he's
like? Something like that. Or I like being a little smart with it, you know, just kind of like, you know. Telling them without telling them, without being rude, but kind of still being funny in a way. so that everybody else gets it and they're like, oh, yeah, hold on, let me make sure this phone's off here. Because that's what happens is you'll get one go off and then another one will go off. And then once I say something, then you turn it. If you ever watch me say something to somebody with a phone, you'll see 10 people around them all look and be like, okay, make sure my phone's on silent here.
You know, obviously, we've said this, I think, with Lee Westwood when we had him on the podcast. So many golfers have such different relationships with the caddy. So some people, mm-hmm. like Harry Diamond and Rory, are literally best friends.
Right.
Other people, it's very much a work relationship. I guess, though, obviously you and Beef, I know, were very friendly. You still are very good buddies. Mm-hmm. Is it a different feeling on the bag, on the LPGA, to when you're on the bag of maybe a bloke and you're more pally, or you're still kind of... Is there a difference overall, or is it just very, very similar?
It's very similar in a lot of ways. You know, Ann and I were very close. We had a great relationship. You know, would grab dinner, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, something like that. You know, off days, we'd go play pickleball in the States. I know we talked about that, paddleball here. But, you know, we would go do stuff like that. And same with Lexi. Lexi, we don't obviously go play pickleball or anything like that. That's not really her thing. But, you know, like we'll, you know, we have a great relationship outside of golf that is a, you know, a solid personal relationship.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, you know, we text during the week like, hey, what's up? How's your day? Like, you good? She'll send me videos of her putting in her house, being like, you know, hey, do you see anything here? You like this? Well, you know, and I'm just like, hey, I love it. You know, rolling great. And she'll send me swing videos, stuff like that. That's, even though it's golf related, it's still, hey, you know, what do you think? Yep. And that's important in a player caddy relationship, in my opinion, to be able to do that. Whereas I'm not just somebody who shows up on, you know, Sunday or Monday and it's like, hey, how you been?
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Not spoke to you all week.
That is the case for some guys, though, isn't it? They have that kind. Would you not like to ever do that then, even for the right bag of someone?
No, I would rather have that relationship and that, you know, that ability to reach out and be like, hey, look, you know, hey, man, you know, my mom's sick or sister's sick. You know, I might be there on Tuesday. Are you cool with that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like have that relationship to where, you know, you can ask for stuff like that or hey, I need you to sign like 3 gloves. You cool with that? Like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. That type stuff. Whereas I feel like if you're just showing up on Monday, I feel kind of weird doing that.
I don't think there's any on, well, sorry, what I meant about, of course there is. I was just saying then, there is obviously in the world of gents golf, there is Lee Westwood has his wife caddying for him a lot. Is there a lot more examples of that in the ladies' game? Is there a lot more husbands and boyfriends caddying for the wives and girlfriends out there?
So I will definitely say there's definitely more husbands, girlfriends, wives on the LPGA. However, a lot of them, none of them caddy for each other.
Wow.
Which is really kind of hot. Right. So Ashley Buhai, who just won the Open this week.
Yeah.
Her husband, Dave, caddies for Jay Lee Six.
Really?
No way. Because they had a massive embrace on the 18th.
Yeah, I did. He caddies for Jay Lee Six. So,
God, I never knew that.
There's, let's see, who else
that
is out
could
there?
Get strange in a playoff, because obviously there was a playoff, the Open.
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
How would that work?
Here's another one. Madeline Sagstrom, her boyfriend, caddy for J. Mary Green, but she's now taking a medical for some injuries. But he now caddies for Sofia Popov. So you're talking, you know, there's numbers of different, and there's a couple others out there as well that like date other players, but none of them caddy for them.
And is this, sounds, I don't know if it is the wrong thing to say, but have they met on the scene? Have they met out on tour? Have caddies met players out on tour got together? Do you know what I mean? As in it's like, it's more, you know, because a lot of time traveling around, and if in that environment, I'm guessing is there a lot more male caddies in the women's game? Am I right in saying
that? Yeah, there is.
What's the kind of split, would you say?
Oh, I would say of the, say, 156 players playing in the field, you'll have 4 to 5 that are female caddies.
Oh, so 90+ percent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's obviously there, and that doesn't happen in the men's game. It's the opposite way around. It's 99.9%. It's a man. You think in that setting where you've got a load of male caddies, a load of female golfers, you're out and about, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, we travel the same place every week.
I bet it's weirdly like political as well. Like, not political, but like dramatic. Do you know what I mean? Like, rumors,
it certainly can be.
Like, at night, you see, like, oh, where's he off to? I wonder where's she heading towards?
That's, you know, hey, look, a lot of the players, they stay in like one hotel, but none of the caddies ever stay in that same hotel. We like to branch out and go different places. And part of the reason is we don't really want to see them. We don't want them to know what we're going to do. You know, it's not that we're doing anything bad. It's just like, I don't need to give my player a reason to be like, hey, why are you slow today? Like, why are you fumbling with your words today? Were you out, you know, partying last night?
You know, you alluded to before that you see it more like a team these days, which is good. You know, the golfer refers to it as we and a team and stuff. I might be wrong in saying this, but I feel like 20, 30 years ago, certainly we saw actual golfers, footballers, there was more like drinking involved. It's got a lot more serious. I imagine that was the same for caddies 20, 30 years ago. There'd be a lot more nights out and maybe a bit more rowdy. Our caddies now, I guess the answer is yes, but our caddies these days are a lot more taking it super seriously. And it's getting almost like competitive between the caddies and taking fitness more into it and things like that.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, there's still the guys that go out and, you know, have a good time. I mean, and even like if we're in Europe, you know, I'm going to go out and have a pint. You know, because it's like I don't get to do that all the time. It's just different. If I'm in Ireland, I'm going to go have a Guinness. You know, it's just I'm going to go do that. But, yeah, it's definitely gotten to where guys really dial in more to their jobs versus, hey, this is a job that's fun, and I'm going to go out and have, you know, some drinks with the guys. Granted, there are still guys that do that, and they do a great job, and they're great at what they do. But, yeah, I would definitely say that it's moved more in the last 10, 15, 20 years to, hey, this is a job. It's a very lucrative job, and I'm going to really dial into what I do. Yeah. So I usually don't like – I'm not a guy really to go out and party during the week. I'm more of a homebody. I stay at the hotel or the Airbnb or whatever we're at. I would rather cook and watch some TV or something, but that's just me.
When you're traveling around, how does your accommodation things get looked after? Do you have to do all that yourself?
Yeah, I do everything myself. Book my own flights. You know, book my own hotels. Now, usually, like, we'll split hotel rooms or Airbnbs. A lot of us like to stay in Airbnbs.
With other caddies?
Yeah, with other caddies. And, like, we kind of rotate. Like, some of the caddies, you know, Paul may book it this week. Mike may book it next week. You know, Bruce may book it this week. I may book it the week after that. So, it kind of evens out. Now, obviously, we all pay each other for the rooms and stuff like that. But it's just like, hey, it's your week to go book something.
It's your round.
Yeah, basically.
And do you share tips? Do you sit there and say, like, oh, that green on 7 slopes more than you think?
You know it. We do.
Yeah.
We sit there at night. Some of us are really big golf nerds. So we'll sit there at night and like look at the books and be like, oh, yeah, did you get that that sprinkler on six, you know, middle of the fairway was actually, I shot it three down, not four down. Like, we'll yeah. Be, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll change it on the book. And then, you know, we'll get like, I think that's too slow for a pin. There won't be a pin there. You know, I marked it off 8 yards is way too close to be a pin. You know, there's too slope to be a pin, whatever. So we definitely talk about different golf stuff.
Do you ever tell people false information?
I don't.
You have to hit driver. What about the out of bounds? Will, no, you have to hit driver.
I feel like that's a bad karma.
You'd be like, that book's wrong. Everything's yeah. wrong in that book.
Yeah, no, I feel like that
I've
is...
I've made my own book, and there it is, and it's all in
yeah, exactly. This one's a lot better. Please read this book.
Well, is an interesting question. Can you name for me, can you remember and relay it, your best memory of something you've done as a caddy out on tour?
Like golf related?
Is there a moment that you've gone, wow, that was my best moment as being a caddy on tour?
Oh, yeah, I can actually. And it goes all the way back to one of my first weeks on the European tour. It actually was my first week on the European tour with Hal Tom. Yep. And I think that was some of the best. I was the most amateur caddy out there by far. But I think that was some of my best caddying I've ever done.
Really?
In what way? What's that? How did you describe that?
So Hal Tom, we were, this is Volvo China Open.
Which he would have had a big following over there.
Huge following. Yeah, he was number one player in China. You know, he was 18, 19 at the time. Yeah, we shot like 4 under. Let's see, 4 under, 5 under, 6 under, and then ended up shooting 8 under in the final round, and just some blackout golf
to win it.
Yeah, they ended up winning it. But this was where I thought my best caddying came from is so we had. Trying to think if we had a lead. I think we had either tied for the lead or a one shot lead going into 16, right? So it was a par three. We hit it on the green, two putt, make our par. We were in the second to last group. So there's one group behind us. And we get to 17, and I was kind of checking back just to kind of see, you know, what the group behind us did or whatever. And we had teed off before they had hit their shots down. So I was like, well, I can't see it or whatever. And so we get to 17, hit a great shot off the tee, get to our second shot, and he absolutely puts one of the worst swings I've ever seen on it, but it goes just pin high or just behind the pin, 4 or 5 foot. You know, ended up being a great shot, but like the swing, if you ever go back and look at Hao Tong's swing on
almost.
17, yeah,
was it, nervous? Just,
oh, it was flipped and it was ugly, but you know what? The finish was great, yes. Well, so the camera guy who was filming us after that shot had like a look. He kind of looked at me funny after we'd hit that shot. We were kind of walking up to the green, and his eyes were big, and I was like, you know, hey, we're good. And he was like, I can't remember who was leading. Aguilar was leading. And he goes, he just hit it into the water on 16. He goes, he's probably going to make bogey at least.
And the cameraman's telling you
the
this.
The cameraman's
telling
you this,
I think he should
right?
be telling you this.
Well, I mean, I was going to see it on the next scoreboard anyway,
yeah.
But, you know, it was like our first week out there and they were kind of like pulling home open, you know, kind of pulling for us or whatever. And we get to the green. So now I'm kind of like, okay, all right, let's see if he makes bogey, makes double or whatever. Well, we make the putt, we birdie it, right? And so we're walking to 18 tee box and the cameraman's looking at me again. His eyes are even bigger this time. And he goes, hey, he made double back there. He goes, you got a 3-shot lead.
With one to play,
right? And so Hao Tong had no idea. He hadn't looked at the leaderboard. He thought that we were going to be tied because remember we were one down going into 16 or whatever. So we're on 18 and Hao Tong, he's like, yeah, driver. I said, yep, driver. Same thing. You know, same thing we've hit for 4 days, you know, for 3 days before that. Hit driver, perfect, no problem. It's a par five, water up
down the right, isn't it?
Yep. And we're in the middle of the fairway, giving the number to the front of the green and the flag. And he just immediately pulls 3 wood. And I said, Hao Tong, I said, this is a 7 iron. He looks at me, he goes, well, we got to make birdie here. So we might have to make eagle. I said, Hao Tong, trust me here, this is a 7 iron. We need to just lay up. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, we have a 3-shot lead. We need to lay up. And he goes, well, how do you know? I said, well, I looked at the scoreboard on the last green when we were walking off. I said, and the cameraman told me that he made double on 16. We have a 3-shot lead. So you're hitting 7-iron. And I handed him the 7-iron, right? Middle of the fairway, I said, so you're hitting 7-iron.
It's like a tin cup moment, isn't it, really?
Right? Yeah. So then it gets even better with this. So we hit the 7-iron. He asked me like 5 times, can this reach that bunker? I said, how long? You can hit this as hard as you want, and it will never reach that bunker. Okay, you're good. Hits it. Perfect. So we have, I'll never forget it, we have 104 yards to a back right pin.
Yep.
Water behind on the right. You don't want to be long because it's got some rough right behind it.
Is it and like a little waterfall over the back of it? It's like a stream,
isn't
like,
it? It's like you got the green here and it kind of falls off to the right, yeah, and then it's in the water. I mean, if it goes off right, it's in the water. And then, but then there's a hill on the backside. So if you go long, you're basically chipping straight down, back down the green. And that's not, you're dead. You're 15 foot at best. So it's 104 yards. I tell him, say, it's 104 yards. We're going to play this. So we're going to play this at most 100, right? Because we want to leave it short of the pin. He goes, oh, no, I don't like 100. He goes, how about 103? I said, 103? I said, no, 100 yards. He goes, okay, 102. I said, no. How tall? We're hitting this 100 yards. He said, we're going to hit this 100 yards, right? He goes, okay, all right, 100 yards. This thing goes right at the flag. It pitches probably 6 or 8 inches from the flag and goes right off the back of the green. Spins back onto the fringe.
Oh my god!
And I'm just
how
like,
how many yards was it from danger?
Well, it was only a yard from danger, maybe if that. I just didn't want to get stuck up on the hill.
Yeah.
So it spins back and it's kind of on the fringe, but we only have maybe, because it's only like 3 yards on, so we only have like maybe 9-10 foot. And I was just like, in my mind, I'm thinking, this guy has just tried to hit a 104-yard shot to a 104-yard pin, and we've one hopped it over the green. I said, we literally have 60 yards short of this that we can land this. But ended up.
And at that point, is your like heart racing? Because obviously, for the caddy, you want your player to win.
Right.
You want trophies. But you want money.
Like, true.
You're going to make a cut of what he makes.
But see, also, at this time, I'm so green in this. I mean, this is the first European Tour event.
Your first one.
This is my first European Tour event.
So you won your first one.
So I did. I won my first European Tour event. And again, don't know how we did that.
Did he two-putt this than a one-putt?
So we two-putted. We actually lipped it out on the high side, but he two-putted it. And so, you know, now he's like kind of a, like, oh, wow. And funny enough, who we were playing with that day was Terrell Hatton and Alex Noren. And so they're two caddies. I'll remember that forever as well. They were just kind of like congratulating and like, wow, you know, what a great round, because we just shot 8 under. You know, to win the tournament.
Oh,
but yeah, we went into the scoring tent and we just kind of sat there on the TV and watched the TV and watched the last group. So we knew he had to basically hole out from the middle of the fairway. And he ended up making birdies. So I think we won by two, but wow, it was that to me was my best caddy, and able to just tell him in the moment, step up and say, hey, we're hitting the 7-iron here. You know, that's what we need.
I suppose at the time, are you older than Hao Tong or similar age?
I am. Yeah, I'm 5 years to the day.
Yeah, same day.
Yeah.
So maybe even just that little bit of confidence. Mm. He's 19 year old. You're, I know, not old. Yeah, still, you're 24.
Yeah,
24 at that point.
20, yeah.
You can go, no, this is the way to play this hole. You know.
Yeah.
That's class.
That was such a good story. I was there with you through every single sentence, and I was like literally picturing the hole. That was class.
It's, you know, it's one of those memories I have that obviously I'll never forget. But I can remember it like, you know, I mean, I can, like you just said, I can visualize it and just remember every single moment of that walking down 18.
So gross.
And just being like, I can't believe what's happening right now. Like, I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it.
So when you first won, though, obviously that's ridiculous. How did that then almost give you some ridiculous expectations moving forward? Or did you know that to win is like very rare?
I knew that, like, you know, I knew he was a good player.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of thinking, wow, like, what does this change? And what's funny is I had only packed for 1 week to come to China, because we were going back to play, it was web.com then, but Korn Ferry Tour. And so I'd only packed for 1 week. And so he's now like, hey, we're going down to Mauritius next week. You know, like, we got to go Mauritius, and then we're Irish Open, and then we're Wentworth. And then I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have no clothes for this. But
I think you could buy a few after that win.
Nike sent some very quickly.
Yeah,
Nike sent some very quickly after that one.
I suppose that's one of the things, like when you go to a new player or when you're working with a player, you've got to wear the sponsored clothing, right? Mm-hmm. Typically.
Usually,
so yeah. They normally sort you out with all the clothing and
they
stuff.
They do. Yeah, yeah, they usually do. Yeah, it's, yeah.
What's, okay, that was lovely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to burst your bubble now.
Go for
it. It's the worst thing you've ever done. What do you really regret?
Caddying for Rick Shields.
That's going to haunt him for life today.
Without spoiling, after the first tee shot, I was like, oh, this will be a fun day.
When he goes to his next caddy in for Lex, he's a bit, why is Tim's weighing 50 yards right every shot? I said, oh, sorry, I've still got Rick in my mind.
I still got Rick's draw in my mind. Oh, worst one. You know, I've missed some numbers. You know, I've missed some numbers big time, actually. It doesn't happen very often, but usually I missed one in a major, and that was annoying.
Oh crap!
How many yards by?
Well, it was 10, but it was a wedge.
All right.
So it was actually 88 yards, and I gave it 108 yards. So I was 10 off. I was actually 20 off, but I'm saying like I walked it off from the sprinkler head, right? But it was uphill, straight uphill, and what I did was, when I walked it backwards, I realized, oh, there's a sprinkler head right here. I said, but I've already walked 10. So I added the 10 to that one, just, again, in the moment. And then I gave it the up for the rest of the shot. And, of course, it's a back pin. I mean, why couldn't I get this on a front pin to where it's not a big deal? We're just middle of the green. So it was actually with Ann, and it was in the KPMG PGA Championship. And, yeah, we one hopped that one right over the green. And
what'd you have to do at that point? Just hold your hands up.
So she didn't know.
Blame man. It's too hard.
Just look at it and go, did you thin that?
I was like, oh, man, it caught a bit of wind there, didn't it?
You are hitting it longer.
yeah, jump her out of the rough there. Jump her out of the fairway, I mean. No, she actually didn't realize I'd done it. She just was like, wow, you know, I kind of hit that too hard. And I realized it on the green. Right, because I kind of re-looked at my book. I was like, why did that go that far? And I looked at it on the green, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, this was definitely on me. And so she didn't realize it. We make bogey. We actually, I think, three-putt from the back. Well, I was wrong on the fringe. But anyway, made bogey. Ended up missing the cut that week.
By one.
It was actually by two, but that was one that kind of spun us out of the, you know, in the wrong direction. But I told her after she putted out, I said, hey, I got to tell you, this is...
After you left her and moved to Lexi Thompson, that's when you told her.
No,
do you remember on the 7th?
No, you remember the 7th at the KPMG. That was me.
So what happened after that then? You told her?
I told her, and she was like, and she was actually really, really cool about it. And she goes, hey, you know what? Look, we all make mistakes. It's all right. No big deal. Said, let's just go get one now. Let's go get another one.
That's obviously making the mistake is annoying for you and for her, but I suppose the fact that you were honest about it straight away, that builds that level of trust even deeper as a caddy and, you know, relationship. So she probably did really value the fact because you could have got away with it, I guess.
Yeah. If I had not said anything, then we would, you know, nobody would ever known. The other thing, another one I did was actually with Anne again. this is US Open. I have a thing for majors, apparently.
Wow, yeah.
It was the last hole of the day. We were playing, so this was in Houston. And we played two courses. So this is on our other course, last hole of the day. We were like way late in the afternoon. And we'd hit one in the fairway bunker. And originally she was going to just hit the wedge out, you know, wedge it up and, you know, hit her third shot from the fairway. Then decided that we probably could get there or at least push it up further. So instead of putting the club back in the bag, she set it on the side of the bag, right? Well, I'd laid the bag down to go get the rake. So I went, you know, she hit the shot, whatever, got the rake, raked it up, picked up the bag, didn't realize the club was still laying next to the bag. I guess it had, like, fallen off to the side. So I left the club in the middle of the fairway, which was the lob wedge, which was very, you know, very well used around the U.S. Open. And didn't realize it until the next morning. We had to come back because I, you know, after we finished 18, which that was 18th hole, we, you know, set the bag down, put it in her car or whatever, and, you know, kind of went on our way. And then she was like, the next morning, she's like, do you know where my pitching or my lob wedge is? And I said, well, should be in there. And she's like, well, I did hit some chips at the house last night, so I don't know, maybe it's at the house. So I actually got in the car, drove all the way to the house, right, which is like 20 minutes. We got there way early, luckily. 20 minutes, looked around the house and was like, I don't see the wedge. Like, I don't know where this wedge is. And I started thinking, like, I mean, I know I put it back in, right? And then doubt started kicking in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I left this wedge. I said, I left this wedge in the fairway yesterday. I was like, I don't know where it is. I don't know if somebody's going to take it. I don't know if maintenance has it. I said, but we've got another round to play today.
It's not like if you left your golf club at a golf club and golf club at a resort or mm-hmm. whatever, you'd probably think it's going to be in the pro shop.
Yeah, right.
You leave a club at a tour event.
The US Open.
There's too many places it could be. Oh,
somebody could see it, pop right under that rope, snag it, and be like, yep, nobody else know
it.
That.
It could be mm-hmm. the crowd could have taken it. A marshal might have moved it. It might be in the back of a buggy. It might have been handed over to
the
security.
Guy picking up the pens could grab. You know, yeah, like you never know who has
found.
It.
It could be in the caddies, the players. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, so
where was it?
Luckily, somebody in maintenance had picked it up and turned it into the USGA office, thankfully. They didn't know whose it was. So when I left the house, I was like, and it's not at the house. And she was like, well, let me go ask around here or whatever. And she still had no idea like how it got out there. And then, so obviously I had to come clean on that one. Like, yeah, I think I left it on the bunker.
My bad.
So we're walking from the putting green to the range so she went ahead and started warming up, doing her putting drills and all that. So I got back from the house when she was like headed to the range. I picked up the bag or whatever, and by that time she had gotten the wedge back from the USGA. And I was like, hey, I'm you know, really sorry. She goes, let's just not talk about this, okay? She's like, we need to be focused on today. Let's not talk about this ever. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's.
Oh,
let's.
My God. That's crazy.
So that was one that I was like,
I bet you hear quite a few things that you caddies do, and I bet afterwards over a few pints you're like,
oh, definitely.
Guess what I've done today, fellas?
There's a lot that can go wrong, though, isn't there? There's a lot to remember, a lot to do. It's a really integral, important mm-hmm. role, and like that's why you are part of the team.
The worst feeling, though, of all time, when you're as you're a caddy, is sleeping in.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a worse thing than waking up and seeing nine missed calls from your player and go, oh my gosh, have I missed the tee time completely or do I still have time to get there?
And have you done that?
I have overslept. However, I've never missed a tee time. Knock on wood.
To seven missed calls.
Yes.
So that's early. Guy rings me seven times.
Sounds like Rick for a podcast.
Right, yeah. I get seven missed calls and go, am I supposed to be somewhere?
No, I did it. I actually did it with Hao Tong once. As you know, I had overslept or actually it was, we were in Europe somewhere and this was back when like kind of my first time in Europe and I didn't know that the plugs, you have to hit the little switch to turn the plug on. So I plugged my phone in and didn't hit the switch. I had no idea. And so it just didn't charge all night. And so it went, you know, it died in the middle of the night. So my alarm never actually went off.
Oh my God. And then they couldn't ring you.
Right.
Because your phone was dead.
Right. And then luckily I just happened to wake up and was like, wait, why is my phone like, hey, it's light out. Cause this was like, we're early, early. And I was like, why is it light out? It should be dark right now. Cause I was going to like five.
Oh, that's a horrible feeling.
Oh my gosh. There is no feeling worse than just dropping.
I hate that.
It's awful.
Oh my God. Well, Will, you have been a pleasure. Thank you for caddying for me today.
Absolutely.
You were phenomenal. Great to catch up with you again.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing your journey and your journey with Lexi and your journey in the world of caddying anyway.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
You've been awesome. Thanks for watching, everybody listening. Make sure you like and subscribe. We'll see you soon.
See you later.
Peace.
See you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.